Tonight, we're going to be in our series on the P's of prayer, and this is going to be the eighth sermon or lesson in this series. The first one was the prelude to prayer, or the prelude of praise. We talked about praising God. We ought to praise God. He's an amazing God. He's worthy of all honor and all praise. We ought to praise Him because He's almighty, because He's the bright morning star. He's the comforter. He's the deliverer. He's eternal. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's holy, and He's infinite, and He's just. He's King of kings, Lord of lords, Master, Messiah. He's near and never forsakes us. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's powerful and patient. He's the quickener. He's redeemer, savior, and truth. He's our unchangeable God. He's our victory. He's wisdom. He's the X factor. He's excellence to perfection. And of course, He's Yeshua or Yahweh. Those are the Hebrew names for Jehovah and Jesus. Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus. Yahweh is Hebrew for Jehovah. And then He is not only that, but He's Zion's King. We ought to praise Him because of who He is. We ought to praise Him and thank Him for what He's done, the blessings in His life. We ought to thank and praise Him by singing a song. And we ought to sing or read a psalm to Him. And it's great to praise the Lord with His own word. And that makes Him happy for sure. And that's an important part of prayer, is praise. The first P, we're going to show you the first five right here. I believe you got the five there, or first four. We have the prayer for power, praying that the Holy Spirit would anoint us, the Holy Spirit would fill us, the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us, that we'd be baptized or saturated in Him, that we'd be consumed with Him and by fire, and that we would be clothed or endued with power. But we ought to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the prayer for prudence, a prayer for prudence. Prudence and wisdom are twin sisters. They dwell together. And if you're going to have one, you've got to have the other. We ought to pray for prudence and wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And so we ought to pray for wisdom. And the way we do that is, first of all, admitting, then asking, and then acting. Admitting that we lack it, number one. Asking in faith, number two, and then acting in confidence that He's given it to us. And that goes for power and wisdom. We ought to be confident that once we ask something that God has promised in His Word, that He's going to do it. He's going to give that need to our spirit, our soul, our lives. And so the prayer for prudence, then the prayer for perception, that involved the three things: a divine discernment, a supernatural discretion, and a godly perspective. We need a godly perspective because there are obstacles and opportunities and obstinate people in our lives that we need to have the right kind of view towards those things. And so we need that godly perspective. So the prayer for power, the prayer for prudence, the prayer for perception, then the prayer for petition, specifically of Jabez. Jabez asked for an increased influence. He said, Lord, I want you to enlarge my coast. He also asked that the Lord would bless him indeed, that he be multiplied with resources, that he be blessed indeed. Then he asked the Lord for his hand to be with him. And we need God's hand with us. If God's hand is with us, that will maximize our production. If God's hand is working with our hands, then we're going to do much more than we could ever do on our own. And furthermore, if God just wants to have His hands at work and swipe our hands away, then we'll just rather have His hands at work than our own hands. But thankfully, He allows our hands to be involved in His work. But we need God's hand in our lives, and then we need to be kept from evil, and specifically evil that we could do as believers, that we'd be kept from sin, from falling into temptation, and to living a life not pleasing to the Lord. And then we talked about, go to the next one, Josiah. Number five, prayer for protection. We have protection through two sources, through angelic beings and through applied blood. Angelic beings, the angel of the Lord campeth round about. The angel of the Lord is a protection for us, and he hedges us in. The Lord hedges us in with angels. And then also when we apply the blood symbolically, Satan hates the blood. He's afraid of the blood. He does not want to mess with a believer who has the power of the blood upon his life. And we do that symbolically by praying and asking the Lord to cover us, and then through confession, asking the Lord to confess and forgive us of our sins so that we can be cleansed each and every day. So that's how we get the protection, and then the provisions that we talked about on Sunday night, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the material needs that we have. We ought to bring each one of those areas to God and trust that He'll meet them. Tonight, we're going on. Psalm 118, verse 25. Psalm 118, verse 25, and tonight I want to talk about this, the prayer for prosperity. The prayer for prosperity. Psalm 118, look what the psalmist says here in Psalm 118, verse number 25. Psalm 118, and verse number 25. We're going to be using our Bibles quite a bit tonight, so you got to move quick and stay with me and keep yourself alert. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. The psalmist says here, Lord, I beseech you. In other words, I beg you. I plead with you. O Lord, I beseech thee. Twice he says it. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. He's begging and he's pleading that God would send what? Send prosperity. So tonight we want to talk about the prayer for prosperity. And it won't be what you think it is, but it certainly could involve being financially blessed, but that's not primarily what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's pray before we get into the teaching. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to teach your word tonight. Lord, we do want to bring Heidi before you. Lord, we know that she's going through some tests and procedure today or yesterday for the brain aneurysm, and we pray that you would just allow her to recover from that, to heal from that. I pray, Lord, that they would be able to resolve that issue and that she would be on her way to a clean bill of health. So please be with Heidi tonight and bring healing to her. Lord, we're thankful for the Word of God. Help us now as we teach it. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd open up our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you'd use me as an instrument, as a vessel to be the spokesman, the conduit for truth tonight. I pray that I would be able to get this truth across when it comes to prayer for prosperity. Help us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So you saw there in verse number 25, the psalmist saying, Lord, I beg you, I plead with you. Lord, if you could do something for me, I'm earnestly pleading with you to send prosperity. It's important that we live prosperous lives as Christians. I want to talk about three specific things tonight in just a moment that I pray for when it comes to prosperity. I do not think it's wrong to pray for prosperity. I think it's wrong for the way it's portrayed on many of the Christian TV stations today, this prosperity gospel, that if you get saved and have Jesus in your life, then you'll never be poor again. You'll have all kinds of wealth and blessings, and that's not necessarily true. How wealthy was Jesus? And Jesus was God in the flesh, and he didn't have his own home. He had no place to lay his head. The Lord's concerned with more than just monetary blessings. It's not wrong to be rich. I mean, we know many people in the Bible were rich, Abraham being one of them, Lot being another. It's not wrong to have money, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. I'm not talking about praying that God will send you $1 million. Now, if God did that, I'd be happy because I'm sure you would tithe on it. So that would be great, but that's not what we're praying for tonight. The prayer for prosperity. I want you to turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter number 18. Three things tonight when we talk about praying the prayer for prosperity. In Judges chapter number 18, look at verse number 5. Judges chapter 18 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, "And they said unto him, Ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous." Tonight, the first thing we need to pray for is that God would prosper our way. I pray every single day, Lord, I pray that you would prosper my way today. Prosper the path that I take, the journey that I go on. Lord, prosper my way. In Genesis 24, you don't need to turn to it, but Isaac was looking for a bride for his wife. In Genesis chapter 24, he sends a servant of his to his homeland, or his hometown, or outside of the land of the Canaanites, to find a wife for Isaac. And so the servant is told what to look for. And in Genesis 24, let me look at a verse. Abraham has told his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And so the servant has gone out looking for this wife to bring back to Isaac. And verse number 40, he says this, "And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." So the instructions that Abraham gave his servant was this: the Lord will walk before you, and the Lord will send his angel with thee, and he's going to prosper your way, and he's going to lead you to the right woman for my son Isaac. The Lord is going to prosper your way. In verse 42, he said again to him, "I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go." And so this idea of having a prosperous way or a prosperous journey, each and every day we've got to take a path. We've got to walk a certain road, and we need to pray that God would prosper that journey, that God would give us a prosperous way. So a prosperous journey that is of good success. This is exactly what we find in Joshua chapter number 1, when Joshua was given the commission to conquer Jericho, conquer the promised land. This is what Joshua needed. Joshua chapter 1, these great verses 7 and 8, God says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." So we want to have a prosperous journey as God's servants. We want to have a way that is blessed. We want to be successful in our service to the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd make my way clear today. Lord, I pray that you'd make my path straight. Lord, I pray that the way that I take would be prosperous. You may read in your United States history book how George Washington found rest and relief in prayer during the trying times he and his soldiers had when they passed through at Valley Forge. And with all the cares and anxieties of that time upon him, he recourse to prayer. One day, a farmer approaching the camp heard an earnest voice. On coming nearer, he saw George Washington on his knees, his cheeks wet with tears, praying to God. The farmer returned home and said to his wife, "George Washington will succeed! George Washington will succeed! The Americans will secure their independence." He was excited. His wife said, "What makes you think so, Isaac?" And the farmer replied, "I heard him pray, Hannah, out in the woods today, and the Lord will surely hear his prayer." "He will, Hannah. Rest assured, God will hear." And boy, God did hear. And God helped this nation to gain independence. And George Washington was certainly used by God to bring about this great country. And his way was blessed. Why? Through prayer. He was prospered in his journey. He had good success because of prayer. And in our days, in our lives, in our journeys, the path that we take each and every day, we want good success. We don't want God to prosper that, and we do that through prayer. We also want God not only to prosper our journey and give us good success, but we want Him to prosper the will of God in our lives. In Romans chapter number 1, this is what Paul said about the will of God. Paul, of course, was a man on a mission to do and fulfill the will of God in his life. And he had many obstacles, many trials and difficulties, but he was determined to finish his course, to be faithful until the end. And Romans chapter 1, verse number 10, in writing to the Romans, this is what he says underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. We ought to ask God to prosper our way. Lord, make my way prosperous today. Lord, I want to be successful in everything I do. Whatsoever my hand finds to do, I want to do it with all my might, and I want to do it with your blessings and your prosperity upon it. I want to have success, Lord, in my way, and I want to be in your will and prosper in your will. I want the will of God to be so consuming to me that I'm involved in it, and I'm in it, and that I'm consciously aware that today God has a will for me, and I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to be in His will every step of the way. In order to do that, we've got to have prosperity. We've got to ask God to prosper our way. Secondly, we have got to ask God to prosper our work. Go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 1. The prayer for prosperity, number 1, prosper my way, Lord. Make my way prosperous. Give me a prosperous journey of good success doing the will of God. And then we ought to ask for God to prosper our work. In Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want my work to prosper. Whether that work be writing a letter or a card to someone, whether that work be preparing a sermon and writing a sermon, whether that be work be just taking notes and studying the Bible, whether that work be praying, whether that work be counseling, whether that work be soul winning and witnessing, whether that work be just serving the Lord with my abilities, my time. I want my work to prosper. In Ezra chapter 5, in verse number 8, the Bible says this, be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands. I want God to prosper my way, but I also want God to prosper my work. And as a pastor, I beg and I beseech and I plead with God. God, I need you to prosper my work. Lord, I can't do anything without you. Without you, I can do nothing. I've got to have your blessing, your prosperity, your stamp of approval upon the work that I do. And you need it as well. You may not be preaching a sermon, but you're living a sermon. You're being a sermon every single day of your life. You're a walking sermon. And you need just as much the power of God upon you to be a good Christian as I do just to preach a good message. We need the prosperity of God. God to prosper our work. So pray that God would prosper your way. Pray that God would prosper your work in two ways. In your service to Him, first and foremost. In 2 Chronicles, quickly go there with me. 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31, verse number 21. We ought to have a desire that God would prosper this church, that He would prosper the work of the ministry here. That's our service to God, is living and serving Him through the local church. In 2 Chronicles 31 and verse number 21, the Bible tells us, and the and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Every work in the house of service of the house of God, Hezekiah did it with all his heart, and he prospered as a result of that. He sought to do the law and the commandments of his God, and to seek his God with all his heart, and God prospered him. He was prospered for his service to God. Hudson Taylor said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. And that provision brings forth a prosperity. When we are doing the work of God, his way and his will, seeking his favor, his blessing upon it through prayer, we will never lack. So our service to God. But then secondly, our service to others. Look at chapter 32, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off the mighty men of valor and of the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he turned with the shame of his face to his own hand. And when he was come into the house of his God, they came forth of his own bowels, slew them there, and with the sword. So Hezekiah the king, Isaiah the prophet, prayed and cried out to the God of heaven that God would prosper their way. And Jehovah sends an angel to destroy the army, to spare the Israelites as a result of the prayer of Hezekiah and Isaiah. So the prosperity of our work, or the prospering of our work, is first and foremost so for our service to God, but then for our service to others. If we are going to be a blessing to others, if we are going to have others spared, delivered, rescued, such as in verse 21, they were rescued as a result of the prayers of God's anointed men. There's a man by the name of Dr. Alexander McLaren. He was one of the clearest Bible expositors of his age, or his time. He became such a great scholar this way. Early in his ministry, an assistant to this great Baptist preacher once asked him what had contributed to most of all his success. And so Dr. McLaren, after playing down the idea that he had obtained success, said that he owed it all to one thing. He said he owed all that he was and his ministry to one habit. And this habit was never broken, and that was spending 1 hour a day alone with the Eternal, as he puts it. The hour which he took was from 9 to 10 in the morning. His assistant says that he was sometime allowed to be in the room with the pastor, but was not allowed to say anything. In his well-worn armchair, he sat with his big Bible on his knees, sometimes reading its pages, but more frequently his hand over his face. During that hour, he did not allow himself to read the Bible for texts or as a student. It was as a child who would read a letter from an absent father, as a loving heart would drink in again the message from a loved one far away. And he would just, with his Bible on his knees, pray and weep as if he was reading a letter from his father. He was reading a letter from his father. And he says that hour, every single day of his life, was what caused him to be successful, even though he didn't think he was successful. That prayer time alone with God in God's word was essential to him, and it ought to be essential to us. Number one, prosper our way. Lord, I pray that you'd prosper my way today. Number two, Lord, I pray that you'd prosper my work today. Lastly, Lord, I pray that you'd prosper my words. Lord, that you'd prosper my words. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, look at verse number 11. Isaiah 55 and verse number 11. Well-known verse. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Lord, I pray that you prosper my way. Lord, I pray that you prosper my work. The things I do with my hands and my feet, I pray that it would be prosperous. But Lord, I need, in addition to that, I need you to prosper my words. The things that I say, whether it be preaching a sermon, sharing the gospel with someone, praying for someone, encouraging someone, Lord, I pray that you'd prosper my words, that they would be used to help someone. William Carey was once reproached for spending so much time in prayer that he neglected his business. He replied that such supplication, thanksgiving, and intercession were much more important in his life than laying up treasures on earth. And this is what he said, quote, "Prayer is my real business," exclamation point, end quote. He went on to say, "Cobbling shoes is a sideline. It just helps me pay expenses." He says, I work on shoes on the side, but my real business is prayer. My real business is beseeching the throne of God. That's what gets the job done. The Lord honored William Carey's vigorous faith, for he became a renowned missionary and was mightily used by God in India, Burma, and in the East Indies, often thought of as the father of modern-day missions. William Carey had a great ministry. What was it built on? It was built on prayer. Prayer is my real business. And tonight, if we're going to be prosperous in our journey, if we're going to be prosperous doing the will of God, doing the work of God, and speaking the words of God, that only happen as we beseech and beg and plead for God to send prosperity. As the psalmist said in Psalm 118, verse 25, "I beseech thee, O Lord, send prosperity." I want to live a prosperous life. I didn't say I wanted to be a millionaire. I didn't say I wanted to have a large amount in my bank account. That's not what I mean. I want to live a prosperous life. I want to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. I want to do the will of God every single day of my life, and I want to get to the end, and I want to be able to say, "Lord, I finished my course. I kept the faith. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I didn't fail you. I just kept going for your work and for your cause." And that happens by prosperity, by praying for God to prosper our way, to give us a journey of good success, by the praying that God would prosper our work and bless our service to Him and our service to others, and praying that God would prosper our words. A soul winner, or a witness, a person that shares the gospel will have much better success and results with God's prosperity upon their life, with God prospering their words, than they will just learning techniques of good salesmanship, of how to be convincing, self-help book on how to get people to agree with you, and all these different ideas out there of how to be a good communicator. I'm not against those books. I've read some of them. But more than any other thing, we need the prosperity of God. God, prosper my words, my work. Make them useful. Make them productive. And that's what we need. Your husband, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters in Christ need you to have words that are prosperous, a work that is prosperous, and a way that is prosperous. Father, thank you so much. I pray that you bless our time of prayer as a congregation. Lord, as each and every one of us beseeches your throne right now, I pray that you'd hear us, O Lord, hear us, and answer according to your perfect plan and will, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. Pray that you bless our time as we go to prayer. In Christ's name, amen.